the cream of the crop, the top of the heap, they are in focus. We see them. We see the leaders. We see the winners. We see the people who are the very best at what they do. We see the Hall of Famers. We can't all be Hall of Famers, but can we be the best we can be? Can we be Hall of Famers of our own? We can. I know we can. And that's what we're striving to do. And that's what we're going to talk about. Jim Smith of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is next. He is on. Let's get cooking. This is Purpose Under Pressure, not just any Purpose Under Pressure. This is episode number 52. That means, folks, four seasons of Purpose Under Pressure are in the books, and I cannot thank you enough. This show is about people who swing their feet out of bed every single morning and put them on the floor and go about doing their business and doing it right and on purpose. And it's about those storms that rise almost on a daily basis to try to knock them off. We hope you like it. And if you're here now, I have to assume maybe you do. If you get a chance, can you like us on whatever platform you're watching or listening? Follow us, subscribe, tell a friend. It helps us to get the word out. It lets other people know that this show might be worth giving a couple of minutes of their hard-earned attention to. So I appreciate the support, and we thank you for listening to Purpose Under Pressure. It is brought to you by Sandler by the Ruby Group, serving sales professionals nationwide from their Akron and Columbus, Ohio locations, also in sunny and beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. They are one of the highest performing Sandler sales training affiliates in the nation, and they will make a difference for you and your team. And when I say will make a difference, folks, if you're a business owner or a leader or a sales director and you need a difference, you need something to differentiate yourself or to stand out or to make things happen, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, these folks really do that. And I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor. I chose them because they do things on purpose. That's the way this works. And so go ahead, trust me, reach out to Mike Jones, Ken Guest, and the team at Sandler by the Ruby Group. Check them out online at therubygroup.sandler.com. Our guest today is an old friend of mine, and I knew him before he was doing the things that he's doing now, and both are incredibly interesting, and I'm excited for you to hear and learn from Jim Smith. He is the content manager at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, one of our favorite places, one of the landmarks of Ohio. We're glad it's there, and we're glad you're here. Welcome, Jim Smith, to Purpose Under Pressure.
Brian, I can't tell how excited I am. I'm so glad we got to reconnect and talk again and catch up. So I'm thrilled to do this and working with Pros Pro.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Well, I appreciate that. And by Pros Pro, what you mean there is we both kind of share interests in the same thing in the broadcasting world and the journalism world. And I'll tell you something about Jim. He wants to do it right. He wants to do it well. And so, yeah, we get each other that way, don't we, sir?
We do.
And I talk a little bit, Jim. You're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I think people probably think that's everybody's dream job. And I would love for you to brag about that a little bit. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what your purpose is there. Kind of set the story of Jim Smith at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, one of the things we talk about here is making working here as cool as everybody thinks it should be. Ah. And we are well on our way to doing that. So we've got a great team here. And you used in your intro spot with your sponsor, you talked about purpose. And our motto this year, our theme this year is purposeful teamwork to help each other grow and direct and get things concluded. So coming to Pro Football Hall of Fame is indeed basically a homecoming for me. I grew up in Canton, Ohio. A lot of folks that work at the Hall of Fame talk about growing up in Canton, Ohio. And I literally did walk by the Hall of Fame almost every day because if you look at the campus here, there's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, there's Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, and there's McKinley High School in a row. And I'm a McKinley High School graduate. So literally, I came by this building every day, either walking or running. So it's a great homecoming. Officially, what I do here as of about 3 weeks ago is I became the content manager. And we have a great team producing a lot of content here, whether it's a production team, a video production, whether it's a website team. You know, we have an unbelievably talented creative team that pushes out information. And they're basically, I'm just going to kind of try and corral that so that everybody's knowing what everybody's doing and keeping in touch and staying on the same wavelength. And again, as our theme is, the purposeful teamwork, basically. prior to that, when I first came to the Hall of Fame, which will be 2 years ago very soon, I was in the Hall of Fame Relations Department. And that department is the key connectors to the Pro Football Hall of Famers, in that they talk to them on a daily basis. They help them when they need some guidance, and they help them with appearances. It's just, it's true relationship building at a fine level with Pro Football Hall of Famers. So that's, you know, that's what I'm up to.
You know, Jim, if you don't mind, in that role, so you're you're talking with these Hall of Famers, Purpose Under Pressure. These folks have to have a different level of purpose and have had to overcome a different level of pressure than maybe any of us even know, or is it just that they attack it differently? Can you share a little bit maybe about what you've learned about purpose and pressure from these amazing individuals that you've met in your time at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's you know, almost cliche, but it's absolutely incredible. In addition to talking to them, so one of my roles here is myself and a teammate, we write something called the Gold Jacket Spotlight every week. So on our website, profootballhof.com, there's a piece called the Gold Jacket Spotlight where we talk about a specific Hall of Famer each week. Okay? So I've learned a lot about them by researching them, but communicating with them as well, or listening to them speak in public, indeed. I mean, their backgrounds are incredible. They come from a wide range of backgrounds. Okay. And what they did and what they committed to is incredible. And what's fascinating to me, you know, you talked about putting feet on the ground. You know, they didn't step out of bed great.
Right? That's right. None of us. I mean, right? Yeah.
Correct. So they developed that. They learned, they credit family, friends, coaches, acquaintances, for getting them where they are. And when you listen to their enshrinement speeches, they're incredible, because oftentimes you hear that story or you hear that reference to those folks, and you can tell the relationships are so strong just by who attends their enshrinement. Okay? I mean, hundreds of people that have touched their lives want to be part of that day because they were an integral part of that path to their enshrinement.
And so I'm interested. I don't even think I know the answer to this. Can anyone be a Hall of Famer? We can't all be football players. We can't all be basketball players. We can't all be electronics engineers or whatever. Right. But can anybody be a Hall of Famer? Have you noticed that it really is just discipline, making up your mind of what you want to accomplish and going out and accomplish it? Or is there luck involved? What have you noticed?
No, I think it's to a whole different level. So here's a number we like to throw around just to kind of give you perspective of that thought. So we talk about, you know, over 25,000 men have played or coached or participated in professional level football. Okay. With this year's class, our enshrinement total will be 378. Okay. If you do the math on that, okay, you're talking about less than a 2% of folks that have played professionally. Now, that's people who have played professionally. So think about the hundreds of millions who have played football, whether it's youth football or junior high football or school football or whatever the level was. They picked up a ball and they played football. Okay. So, I mean, you're talking about the very special, very limited group who, you know, is there one answer to that? I don't think so. I mean, I think it's all those things. It's passion, it's commitment, it's integrity, it's character. It's all those things that had to come together, to form those individuals that took it to a level that, you know, again, only 378 have achieved.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about purposeful teamwork? And did purposeful teamwork come from, I'm assuming it came from the idea of a football team and you've learned from these folks that you work with, or is there some other drive? And how do you instill purposeful teamwork? The reason I ask it that way is, in a team, everyone has their own thing they're shooting for. We all have our own purpose. We swing our feet out of the bed for our own reasons every day. And yet we have to corral that, to use your word, in a team. How does that happen?
So that's through the leadership here. So Jim Porter is the president of Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, I met Jim over 20 years ago. Again, he comes from the newspaper industry, which we'll talk about later as a former career. Okay. And he's creating a team. Okay. He's working hard to create a team, that first of all, rows in the same direction. Okay. That was our theme last year. We all have to be rowing in the same direction. You certainly have a role, as a member of a team. But, you know, you have to be headed in the same direction. You have to follow, you know, you want to, if there's a play called in the huddle, You're going to follow the play. You have a role to play in that. You have a purpose to play in that. Okay. Football is a game. If we're using that analogy, football is a game that every player has to perform his specific role on every play for that play to succeed. From the line, from the middle of the line to the outside of the line, to the receivers, to the backs, the whole thing. Everybody has a very specific role. Okay. They have a purpose. Okay. And the same thing here. You know, we have our roles and our departments or our specific job descriptions, but there's a purpose for that. And that purpose is, you know, a combination of both of those things. Excuse me. Okay. That we're rowing in the same direction and that we have a purpose with our team.
Yeah. And the team. So it's important that you generate the right people on the team, but then also instill that purpose. It works both ways. It's kind of come from the top down and from the bottom up. Which is more important, 100%. Do you think, from an organizational point of view, generating the right people in the right seats, or having the plan in the first place?
Well, I think it's a combination, is my immediate response. But I think, you know, something that's important here is, you know, we want to help people develop and grow. Mm-hmm. You know, I we tease about it, especially in my former department and this department as well. You know, I'm the oldest guy in the group, right?
Yeah, join the club. I've been there.
And that's okay, though, because that's what I like. It kind of similar to your question, you know, I'm learning from them and they're learning from me.
Yeah.
Okay. And same with this purposeful teamwork. We're learning from the top as a vision, if you will. And they certainly, you know, folks here don't really want to refer to as the top. They just want to be part of the team as well. Okay. But the leadership of the team has a vision. Okay. And the members of a team have a purpose and want to understand that vision so they can fulfill their role successfully.
I love having you on the show, Jim, because I know you've had a long and storied history of things that you're passionate about. And you say, you know, I'm here in the Canton Hall at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's like coming home. But you worked in journalism and you worked in the newspaper industry and you had a passion in your heart for that as well. And a lot of people might say, wow, I'd much rather work at the Pro Football Hall of Fame just because it's fun and everything. But you had a passion for something that was really important to communities, that was really important to the way people live their lives. And sure. It started to fail. As everyone knows, the newspaper industry has changed a little bit. And so you were at Steel City Corporation. And I'm interested in kind of what you learned, some pressures that you had to go through to keep that passion alive and stay on track with what you were trying to do. Can you share some stories about life back then in that industry?
Sure. So just for a backdrop for the listeners and the viewers, so Steel City Corporation is a company that's been around for probably nearly 90 years now. And they had several divisions. And one of the divisions I worked with dealt specifically with the newspaper publishing and alternate delivery industry, delivering printed material. So we were a supplier to that industry, was what my primary role at that company. Okay. And I think what's important to know is, how does a guy who has a teaching degree get into, you know, I used to talk about schlepping tubes, right? So those motor rod tubes out in front of your homes, that was one of the things
that you put the paper in.
You put the paper in, right? Yeah. Had the local newspaper's name on it, right?
Yeah.
And I got there because of my passion for the newspaper industry. In my mind, I've always been a fan of newspapers. I was the kid that was printing a newspaper as a kid. I was delivering the newspaper as a kid. I was writing on the school paper as a kid. It was just a huge part of my life. Okay. And this was kind of maybe even a backdoor way to get into that industry through Steel City. I mean, I literally couldn't wait to call on customers or visit customers. And maybe the ownership and show know this, but it wasn't necessarily because I was really excited about selling that motor rod tube. I was equally, if not more excited about walking into a newspaper building, because I understood the value of the newspaper to a community. We could do a whole day of podcasting about that, right? But that was my passion, that I wasn't providing them a product just to, you know, to sell them the product. I, in my heart of hearts, believed they're going to use that product to get somebody their product that is different every day. And there's no industry that does that. They print a different product every day. Okay. That is the most, arguably one of the most valuable products that was coming into people's homes for centuries in this country. Okay. To keep them informed, educated, involved in their community. So that was my passion. That's how I got in the door with that company. Probably a good thing I didn't tell them all that in the interview. I just told them I want to sell tubes, right?
Yeah.
whatever the communication.
They say, what's wrong with this guy next?
Yeah.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. So anyhow, they tell me that was in 1991, I think. Okay. And they even tell me in 1991, I missed the best days, right? They were already talking about it.
The decline of the newspaper industry.
Yeah, the decline of the newspapers. And when I was a student at Kent State, I was a journalism major for a while before I switched to education. And they were already talking about, how these computers are going to take over and all that in 1980s, early 80s.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, so that's how it got. And then, there were some pressures in the business that, they were feeling the pressure of adjusting to a whole different world of information gathering and information providing. Some of them done it more successfully than other. But certainly we were feeling the effects of that because we were a supplier to solely the print side. Okay.
It's so interesting. It's interesting to me when I'm talking to you that we talked about the best of the best of the best of the best, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, the Hall of Fame quarterback. And we talked about the fact that not everybody can be that, even though we all or many of us have a passion for a sport or whatever, and we want to be the best we can do. We end up finding our path, don't we? People can still be the best at what they do, even if it's not at that highest level of maybe public vision or people can see you doing it. You were involved in the newspaper industry. It wasn't what you thought, but it sounds like it gave you an equal amount of passion and enjoyment as anything else could be. And so I'm interested when the newspaper industry really started to fold down. And I think right now listeners are maybe thinking about AI and how that's going to affect their jobs and things of that sort. Did you stay in it too long because of your passion to be great at something you loved? Did you had to walk? What was it like watching this thing kind of die around you, even though you loved it?
Right. So I want to go back to something you said to start real quickly. So you talked about the Hall of Famers and the level they reach, but there's something else we believe around here too. Okay. So one of the things is, I'm not going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. Right. But nor are you, or nor are probably most of your listeners, but you can lead a Hall of Fame life. Okay. So we really believe that, you can be a Hall of Fame dad. You can be a Hall of Fame uncle, a Hall of Fame brother, sister, mom. Okay. So, I do believe that. Okay. That's up to you to take whatever your role in life. You remember the old, Covey planning systems and all that stuff? And they always talked about different roles we all played, right? Mm-hmm. So I think about that often, about the roles I play in life and the roles I see other people play. And I think, I'm not going to get a bronze bust, probably not getting a gold jacket. Okay. But I can still be a Hall of Fame person or try and have Hall of Fame character and integrity and those kind of things. So I just wanted to mention that.
I'm glad you did. And it's just as, without a doubt, and as equally an accomplishment as having that bronze bust. I've got one chance to be a good dad, right? One chance to be a good husband or a son. I better be the Hall of Famer. Otherwise, what am I doing here?
So focus, effort, dedication, all those things we talked about earlier. So to your point about what was it like to watch the industry, it was honestly, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I was in a local store the other day on a Sunday, and my wife's checking out the stuff, literally checking out the goods at the grocery, the checkout stand. And I wander over to the newspaper rack because I wanted to see, that was my passion, right? That could be our rack, right, from the day. Right. So, but I'm looking at the paper. I'm seeing the lack of content. I'm seeing the lack of advertising. I'm seeing the price. A gentleman walks up to me, an older gentleman, older than I, and he taps me on the shoulder and it kind of tells me where I can go down the street and get a little less expensive. Right. But I said, no, I'm not really looking at to buy it. And I told him the same thing on the answer to your question. I said, I'm looking at it, and honestly, my heart is breaking. Okay, to see what's happened to the industry, because I still believe in the value of it, the passion of it, the reason for it, what it does for a community. And I know there's other sources now, but I don't think those sources reach the people in the same way. That's my opinion. I can't prove that factually, but it was heartbreaking, to be honest. And to leave Steel City, I don't know. I don't think I stayed too long. I think I still play an important role to the folks at Steel City. I think I played an important role to, officially our customers, but more importantly, a lot of those became more than customers. I'm not the guy who says they all became my friends. That doesn't happen. We know that. Okay. But we had a different relationship. We had a different contact level. And in my career at Steel City, I became someone who is known for, he doesn't really just want to necessarily sell us a tube or a rack. He cares about the industry. So I became a guy that would go out to the conferences and the conventions and speak. And quite frankly, I think people enjoyed it because I spoke from the heart. Okay. And I told them, what I thought we could do to help their industry. And I would share with them what people were doing in their industry to share, because they didn't get the exposure I did. I mean, I traveled on the road every day for over 20 years. I mean, I literally can prove that I drove 1,000,000 miles. My territory was huge. At one point, I was in every daily, weekly, free distribution newspaper product in probably 2/3 of the country. And with little exception, I've probably been in most daily newspapers in this country at least once. So I saw a lot. Okay, I saw a lot of great people, met a lot of great people, saw a lot of great ideas, and had the opportunity to share that in my role as the guy traveling around, because that would be the first question they'd ask you. Tell me what's new. Tell me what's exciting.
Yeah.
So it was tough when I started. That decline was really evident.
One of the biggest problems we have as managers and leaders is sometimes we're not focusing on leading and we end up doing it for our sales team. How do we coach our people to help them figure out what self-limiting belief that they have that's holding them back from achieving the levels of success that they know they're capable of? Help them flush out what we call their own head trash, that thing that's holding them back. So work with your team, lead by example. Watch your team achieve greater levels of success, and watch your team grow, and more importantly, watch your company and your business grow.
I have a follow-up question, but I need to ask the question first.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what your purpose is, yours, Jim Smith's purpose. Yeah. When he was 5 years old, he was 25 years old, 35, 55, regardless of where you work. Just a real quick answer to that, and then I'd like to follow that up. What is your purpose, Jim? What are you trying to accomplish on this earth while it's spinning around?
Brian, if you send me one word, Jim, that's all you can use. Okay. I would say the word would be educate.
Educate.
Okay? And it would be either to educate myself or love to that. Educate others. Educate and share.
Love that. And a quick story about myself. I wanted to grow up and be a long-haired hippie rock and roll DJ. Yeah. Until I realized that that's not really what I wanted. What I really wanted to do through a lot of different, I realized it over a lot of different experiences, is that I wanted to impact people's view of themselves and their lives. And I wanted to kind of excite them to do things that maybe I was inspired to do along the way. I just wanted to share with them. Throughout all of my jobs, I've been able to do that. It made sense to do that as a DJ. Man, I can get people pumped up and rock and roll and have a great time. But that wasn't for me. And then it made sense to do that in sales. And that died. My industry died too, Jim. Radio, some people say it's still alive. I don't. What have you been able, I see an opportunity for you all through your life, even now as content manager at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to educate people. And isn't that amazing that no matter what the job is, no matter what the industry is, that's what you're doing. And I love that for you. Do you see that? And do you put those two things together?
I do. So prior to me working at the Hall of Fame, I was a volunteer at the Hall of Fame for many years. Okay. And that was my, one of my passions was to, it was to educate, visitors, and they had questions and they were, but it was to share the experience. So, part of education is creating experience. Mm-hmm. Right. And I really think that's a subtext of my education passion is creating experiences for people. And again, I can go down stories of interesting folks that came through here, folks that had, heart touching stories of why they came to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It was just fascinating. So yeah, it definitely, it's part of my role. It's the part I love. It's an unofficial, always been a part of my roles. I've been blessed to work with a lot of great people and to learn a lot from them. And I know I like to be considered a mentor to some of the younger folks that are trying to kind of learn their way, find their way. And I think I'm there to a point in that I know I get to have those conversations with them, you know, the corner conversation, the lunchtime conversation, you know, the in-depth conversation, and they'll just flat out ask, "Hey, Jim, what was it like to do this? Tell me about this." And I do the same thing, you know, because they're coming up in a whole different era of technology and experiences, and I love to hear about them. I love to hear about them because I want to hear them communicate and tell me their story. But I want to learn something from it too. And I got to tell you something too, real quick, because you asked about the why. Yeah. I chuckled to myself when you did that. And I'm going to bet that nobody's done this on your podcast yet. This is my notes from Simon Sinek's Know Your Why.
Oh, yep.
I pulled these off my desk today, right? These have been on my desk for a long time.
Okay. Good.
So it's passion, right?
Yep.
It's passion to understand why you do what you're doing and how to do it, and how to get there.
And so what's the future look like? I'm struck by the fact that, and I don't know how old you are, Jim, but you're older than 40 and I'm 57. And then there's, you know, young people come up and they've got like all these amazing ideas and opportunities and skills and an amazing, a different whole level of passion to help people than I think I grew up with in the 80s when we were all about ourselves. Like that, I love the young generation. But you and I still have something to give too. And I'm interested because we've been there. We've seen it. We've worked through the things. And there's a great combination of the two. What are the struggles? What are the pressures? What are the hurdles that Jim Smith sees to overcome, either for himself or either for yourself personally or for the Hall of Fame? Like, what's next that's going to cause some pressure that's going to try to knock you off your purpose?
That's fantastic. So, first of all, let me go back to your first comment. Once again, I am the oldest guy in the room.
Yep.
But I'm getting comfortable with that because it happens a lot.
I worked in digital marketing, Jim, for 12 years. And I think every single person there could have been my son, without a doubt, or daughter. Yeah.
I'm okay with it though. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, Jim, you're going to say this and it's going to sound wacky or cliche or unrealistic, you know, challenges, you know, pressures. And again, maybe this is a life experience thing. To me, those are just another event. Yeah. Okay. So here comes today's event, or here comes this minute's event, or this week's event. And we're just going to figure it out. Right. We're going to look, we're going to plan, we're going to react, and we're going to reassess at the end of it. Okay. So I like that a lot. You know, we think, we act, we reassess. We do those kind of things. And I think that's where I'll continue to do it. Again, here, you mentioned young folks and their creativity. You can ask some of my peers here. I've used that kind of framework frequently that, you know, there are amazingly talented people on the staff here. Okay. And I love to hear from them. And I'd like to think, if anything, my role in this situation can be, hey, maybe I can help them just polish that up a little bit. Okay. You know, just put a little different view to it, a little different perspective to it. And they ask for that sometimes. They, you know, I know it when I'm in with some of the teams here, that's, you know, we'll all ask the question, you know, what am I missing? What are we missing? You know, how can we make this better? And I think that's always our goal. One of our goals here is if we do an event, you know, then our next reaction is going to be, How can we improve that event the next time? How can we make the experience even better? And again, it's experience. It's all about creating experiences for people. And that's no matter whether it's the Pro Football of Fame, whether it's Steel City, whether it's, you know, your company and the things you do, you're just trying to create experiences with people that they'll remember, and they'll want to come back and create another one with you.
And Jim, just to kind of wrap it up, I think that's what this is all about that we're doing now. You're a content director now, content manager there at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm doing a podcast. I'm helping a few businesses with some marketing. We used to run big radio stations and big newspaper organizations, right? And you mentioned, I don't think it's the same. I'd push back. And I think that the things that we're doing, the experiences you're creating, the content we're creating, this podcast here that one person might see or 100,000 people might be impacted from, we're creating things that we love. We're putting it out there, and they're impacting people in a very different way. The newspaper, people read it through and move to the next page. These, they engage, they work through the event, they work through and talk with, and I think we're educating and helping, and it's just a new way of doing it, and maybe even to generate a deeper impact. So I appreciate the fact that you keep on going and keep on doing it regardless of the medium. I love the fact this too, this is our final episode of season 4, Jim. Save the best for last. We'll be back. We'll be back with season 5 in about 6 weeks. But every single person I've met and done a show with, and that's well over 50 now, and over 100 in a past podcast I did, which is a similar topic.
Fantastic.
Every single one cares about what they do. Every single one cares about what they do. And if I looked out, if I went to Walmart and looked around, I'm not going to see 100% of the people caring about what they do. A lot of people stumble through lives. Man, when you have a purpose, you can overcome anything. And you're evidence of that. And I appreciate your sharing that story with us.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and I was thinking about that again in preparation for this and just in general. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, they love their job, or, you know, or not everybody can say that, right? I mean,
unfortunately.
But what they can do is they can find something about that job they love.
That's right.
Okay. Because it's incredibly important. I was just sharing this last anecdote for you. When I traveled, I can't tell you how many people I met, right? I mean, and not just clients, customers, newspaper people. Obviously, I met those every day. But you're on the road 80% of the week. You're meeting, you know, convenience store people. You're meeting fast food people. You're meeting restaurant people. You know, I got to get my oil changed once or twice when you're driving a million miles, mm-hmm. right? So I'm meeting mechanics. I'm meeting all sorts of people. All walks of life. Yep. Right? And I remember walking into a fast food chain one time, a restaurant store, and a guy was cleaning the windows. A young man was cleaning the windows. And you could kind of get from his body language, you know, this isn't exactly what I wanted to be doing right then, I would sure. say. But I made the point, and I believe it. I didn't just make up this story and pop it into my head. Right? I said to him, hey, I just want to let you know, I said, I don't know what your title is here, but I know what it should be. Okay. I said, your title should be, you're the director of first impressions. I said, yeah, because buddy. When I'm coming in this store, the first thing I'm seeing is that door that you're cleaning right now. And if that door is nasty and ratty, you know, I'm thinking about turning around and walking back. But because you're the director of first impressions, you're the most important guy on the staff right now. Because if you don't do this, then I don't walk in that door and nothing else happens the rest of the day with me in this store. So it's important, right? Whatever your role is, it's valuable.
Jim, what did he say? Did he look at you like you're crazy, you know, or did he listen?
Well,
a little bit of both.
I hadn't really thought about that, but you know, I could see either of those things. I'd like to think he felt like, okay, I'm the director of first impressions. That's pretty cool. And maybe I'll share that. Who knows? Maybe you got business cards made later in the day. But he might have thought, okay, you know, how many miles have you driven today, sir? Are you nuts? But but no, I meant it. That was the important thing. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant, as they say, because it's very important.
That's why you're good at what you do. And I appreciate you taking the time to share these stories and hopefully inspiring others to do the same. If someone wanted to reach out and learn more either about your past life in newspaper, you might have some hobbyists and some things like that that people want to talk to you about, or even what you're doing now at the Hall of Fame, how would they do that?
Sure. Well, I'm a freelance writer as well, so I love to talk to people all the time, looking for ideas. So why don't I give you this, I'll give you my personal email address is BlueLineNotes, that's plural, BlueLineNotes@gmail.com. And there's a Twitter account to that too, if you're really looking for something fun to do, at okay. BlueLineNotes.
Tremendous. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being a part of our show. I really do appreciate hearing from folks that have gone through similar situations like me. In fact, maybe that's just everybody. How many people do we know, Jim, that have been in the same industry that they went to school for all the way through and retired as the president or CEO? I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. And it's important that we keep our passion alive, right? No matter what changes come up, that we can keep on doing it well. So Jim Smith, he is a content manager over at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. We're glad he's there, and we're glad you are a guest here today on Purpose Under Pressure. Thank you, Jim.
Totally my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Jim Smith's our guest today. It's on Purpose Under Pressure. It's brought to you every season. Again, this is the end of season 4. Man, am I thankful to the folks at Sandler by the Ruby Group, Mike Jones, Ken Guest, Jordan Mullet, Jason Reynolds, the whole team. I really do appreciate your support. I don't know how much business this thing drives for you guys, but if you're watching, this makes a difference. And your impact on people and helping me to bring this show to people makes a difference. And I thank you. Sandler helps you succeed on purpose. Look them up at therubygroup.sandler.com. You'll find all past episodes of Purpose Under Pressure at brianmediastrategies.com/podcast and wherever you stream your favorite shows. We do this every week, except for the next six. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with season five then. We'll see you then on Purpose.